Good morning, everybody. Welcome to church this morning. For those of you who are visitors, very special welcome to you. Those of you who've been away and on holiday, great to have you back. And we come to worship our wonderful Saviour, the Lord Jesus, this morning. And it says in Psalm 113, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you his servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sits, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations. His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who sits enthroned on high, who stoops to look on the heavens and on the earth? Do you get that? Who stoops to look on the heavens and on the earth. That's the greatness of our God, the one that we come to worship, the one who invites us to come to him. And so we do that just now. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing who has held the nations in his hands. Lord God, we come into your presence this morning, grateful for this reminder, grateful that we can sing as we start of your greatness, of the fact that you are incomparable. There is no one like you in heaven on earth. You made it all, you keep it all, and in all your greatness, you loved us, and you've called us, and you've chosen us. Maybe some people here this morning who that kind of stuff still feels a bit strange, and they're wondering, is he my God? Where does this fit in? Lord, for them, would you reveal yourself today by your Holy Spirit in a way maybe they hadn't expected? Surprise them with your presence. That, Lord, may it be no surprise for those of us who do know you and love you, that we feel you here, that we experience your presence through the Holy Spirit. We confess our sins. We confess our shortcomings before you this week. Please, Lord Jesus, would you forgive us again, that as we come, we might offer a sacrifice of praise from a pure heart with clean hands before you. In your name we pray. Amen. It's a reminder in song of the greatness, the incomparableness. I don't know, is that a word, incomparableness? But whatever of our God, our Father, the one who loves us, sent his Son to die for us, the one who redeemed us, the one who loves us, the one who constantly is with us. And this morning, we're going to be thinking about prayer together, not deeply, nothing complicated, but just a reminder of the love our Father has in hearing us, in having conversations. So we're going to start with that in terms of our first little talk. So children, I've got something here on the slide. I want to might need some help with the grown-ups on this one, but here's some stuff for the children to start with. We're really, yeah, if you consider yourself a child, you can have a look at these. So children, some pictures coming up, and I want you to tell me, do you know who these are? Who is that? It is Peppa Pig. That's a good start. So that is Peppa Pig, even without the writing. So you see the picture, and they knew who it was. What about that one? McDonald's? Is it really? Who agrees that's McDonald's? Oh, you're right. They all think it is. You are right as well. Right. But that one. Going to see a lot of that in the next few months. Ted? Yep, you're right. You're the Olympics. Good. Hey, you're good at this. I thought I was going to catch you out. But that one. Any of the children to start with? Grown-ups? Just. I know you're enthusiastic. Yeah, Mason. Amazon Prime. Fantastic. Where would we be without Amazon Prime? But make sure you still use your local shops. For those of us who like shopping blokes, don't we love Amazon? right, next one. Just a little bit more tricky. Do you think you know? Samuel, it is. It's Duplo. One the adults may not have known quite so well. So Duplo, very good. Well done. I think I've got another one. Primary school. Who hasn't had a go? Arthur? Pepsi, yep, very good. Ted, Adidas, good. I was confused on that one because Adidas used to be three little things that went up like that, didn't it? Apparently they changed it to that about 3 years ago. Who knows? Right, one more. Is Caleb here? John Deere. It is. And I think there might be one more. Who hasn't had one? I'm going to go back to Mason. Nike, yeah, well done. Nike Swish. And that was the one I want to start. I don't think there's any more. No, so we just sort of stop on Nike because I'm really... How many children... Did you know that was Nike? Does that... Well done, Mason. But any of you others, who knew that that was the Nike sign? Grown-ups, you can show me on this one as well. I think most of us of a certain age know, and probably the older children, but not one so much now. But Nike, can you remember, do you know what the Nike, what went with that? So there was some words that went, when you saw the Nike Swish, they had a little saying that went with it. It actually comes from Greek, interestingly. Who knows? Cheryl, do you know what the Nike slogan was? Were you putting your hand up? Yes, that was exactly right. It was Nike, just do it. That's what they said. Just do it. So Nike makes sports equipment. So they would make trainers, shirts, shorts, some of the equipment, and you know, for doing your games and that kind of thing. And they said, just do it. Don't talk about it, just get on and do it. And those of us of a certain age, when it comes to exercise or diets, what do we need to do? Just do it, yeah. And it's about the hardest thing. But Nike reminds us, just do it. Stop talking about going for a run, Stuart. Get on and do it, you know? And one day, when Jesus was on earth, because you knew it was going to come to Jesus, didn't you? All things come back to Jesus. They said to Jesus, they had listened to him praying, and they said, Jesus, would you teach us to pray? And he did. But what he didn't say was, when you pray, you must make sure that you put your hands together, and you make sure you close your eyes, and fold your arms, and don't look around. He didn't say any of those things. Now, they can be helpful, nothing wrong with them at all, because it helps us to concentrate. But Jesus didn't say that. He didn't say, you have to put on a very special voice. Oh, dear Father, please would you do this? Or whatever. He didn't say you have to put on a special voice. And he didn't say you have to use special words. He just said, when you pray, pray, our Father, who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. We're going to think about grown-ups. We're going to think about that later on. But the point I'm saying with the children and saying to all of us is that he says, just do it. Just do it. Don't worry about getting the right words. Don't worry about being in a particular place. It's nice to come to church together, isn't it? It's lovely to come to church together and we sing our songs together and we hear God speak, and there's something great about praying together, as we'll see later on. But he says, we can just do it. Children, you can just do it wherever you are, at school or at play, at sports, at gym, wherever. You can just pray to your Father in heaven who hears you. Grown-ups, isn't that a wonderful reminder as well for us? It's very simple, and I'm not saying any more about it because that's going to be part of our talk this morning. Just this little reminder here. And so we are just going to do it. We're going to sing a song that encourages us in our prayers. Before the throne of God above, we have a strong, a perfect peace. So it reminds us that we've got Jesus in heaven that we pray to and will help us and will bring us to our Father. And then Anna is going to lead us in our prayers this morning. So instead of just talking about it, we're going to do it this morning, all right? Anna's going to lead us in prayer, and then I'm going to ask Sarah to come and bring our Bible reading after that, and then we'll get into the Word together.
So many years ago, when I first became a Christian, we were taught several ways of helping you to pray. One of them was ACTS. I don't know if people have heard of it. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. So you remember each thing and then you pray through it. Another one was the Lord's Prayer. So I'm going to pray a little bit through the Lord's Prayer and leave some gaps for you to put your own prayers in. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is the Lord. We come to worship and glorify your name. You are worthy of all praise. You are the King of kings, the Lord of lords. You are our Father, our Saviour. You love us and you have given your Son for us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we pray that your will be done on the earth, that your kingdom will be here. Lord, we pray for the work in the church. We pray for the men's group, the women's meetings, the get-together courses. I was going to say Alpha, but it's got another name. We pray for the youth work. We pray that your word will go out to each and every individual person that's touched, that you will bring your salvation to them. We pray for that the gospel will spread throughout this village, throughout all the villages and the towns that we represent, that your kingdom will dwell here. Give us this day our daily bread. We thank you, Lord, that you provide for everything that we have need for. You provide our food. We thank you for the farmers, for the grocery people, the retail people. We thank you for what you provide. For our clothes, our homes, our health. We pray for those who aren't so well at the moment. We pray for Mark's mum, Brenda. We pray that you will surround that family with your love, surround them with your closeness at this time. Just give them peace. We pray for Daniel. We pray for his wife, Rachel, as well, that you will bring healing to Daniel as he recovers and gets stronger. We pray for Leo's niece, Joanne. Lord, be with this young woman. Bring strength to her. If she doesn't know you, Lord, we pray that you will break into her life. We pray for other family members that we all know and love, and each other. We pray for little Aubrey and her family. Lord, we don't know how to pray into this situation, but we just pray that your love will shine around them, that they will know that they are in your hands, that you have good and not evil for them, no matter how this situation turns out. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lord, we're sorry for the things that we've done that displease you, and we're sorry that we haven't done things that we should have done. Lord, forgive us for these. And we thank you for your forgiveness, because you sent Jesus to die on the cross, and we only have to ask and accept your forgiveness, and we will be forgiven because you love us. In Lead us not into temptation. Lord, guide our ways. Temptation comes so often through our eyes, through our ears, through our bodies, through our minds. Lord, you have said there is always a way out of temptation. Help us to find it quickly. And deliver us from evil. So if we do find our way into something that we shouldn't, Lord, help turn us around. Keep the enemies away. Protect us and our families, this church, and the gospel. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Amen.
Thank you both. I've got to ask, Anna, had you looked forward into what we're doing this morning in preparation? That's really helpful. Thank you. I think we all know that there's nothing more important for us as Christians than talking to our Heavenly Father. It's the most basic thing, isn't it? It's the simplest of things to do. It is the most important thing in any relationship. You have to talk. And the thing about the Christian life is it is a relationship. People talk about religion and all of that, and how religion is one of the biggest problems in the world. Well, I would tend to agree with them. Where I disagree is that Christianity, in its truest form, is a religion. It's not. It's a relationship. It's a relationship with God through Jesus. People say, when they find out what I do, they quite often, oh, so you're religious then? Well, that's just like red rag to a bull to me. I don't want to be religious. I want to be in a relationship with God through Jesus. And I'm sure so do you as well, as a follower of Jesus. And we know, therefore, that in any relationship, communication is just crucial. It's front, middle, and end of a relationship. So our talking, our communication with God, our praying is integral to what we do. And yet, for all of that, I think most of us would say that praying is, strangely, it's one of the hardest things to get right and to keep right. It's one of the hardest things to just keep doing. And there's a whole bunch of reasons why that might be. But there's an old hymn, I bet you used to sing it here. It will be completely unknown to some of you from the last 20 years. But it used to go like this. It said, what various hindrances we meet in coming to the mercy seat. Yet, who that knows the worth of prayer but wishes to be often there? Restraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian armor bright, and Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. The writer of that hymn 200 odd years ago knew what we're talking about. We love it, but it's at times it's so hard. And the disciples knew something of that as well. And that was what lay behind their question, which isn't here in Matthew chapter 6, but is in Luke chapter 11, where Jesus was praying and the disciples saw him and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And in response, Jesus gave them the Lord's Prayer. And Matthew includes it here, and it's quite probable that Jesus repeated that prayer in this, what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And those of you who are part of our regular congregation know that we're working through paragraph by paragraph or subject by subject, week by week. We're going through the various topics that Jesus taught on in this parable. It means that we've looked at some things which are challenging for us, looked at things which normally I probably wouldn't choose to preach on unless there was a specific purpose. One of the beauties of going through a passage or a book is that you have to deal with what's in front of you. And that's what's come up in here. And so last time we were looking at giving. Oh man, giving is one of the hardest things to speak on from the front. Because you support me. You know, I live on your generosity and your kindness. Really difficult to speak on giving from the front. But we have to deal with that kind of stuff. Now, today we come to look at this issue of prayer. And this is the response of Jesus' request in Luke 11. It was the response of the disciples' request, "Lord, teach us to pray." Jesus has it in here because it's so important for us. And what we have here, as Anna really helpfully said, we call it the Lord's Prayer. And most of us under, probably most of us over 40, I think, would have grown up in school where it would quite regularly have been taught by rote. Many of us would have been in school and we would have been saying this every day in school. We knew it off by heart. It's the Lord's Prayer. I think we all know that what the disciples expressed, "Lord, teach us to pray," what the writer of the hymn prayed, what various hindrances we meet, and what the disciples said. So let's come and have a look at what Jesus says here, not just in the Lord's Prayer, but in his preamble to it as well, to help us in our prayers. We'll look then as we finish, we're just going to go through in quite a similar kind of way to Anna went through in our prayer. Just a great example of where I want to end up this morning. So thank you, Anna, for that. It's so easy to slip into a sense of formality, isn't it, in our prayers. Even, you know, Acts grew up with that one. You know, but we and I've got on my phone, I've got a prayer app called Prayer Mate. And it takes me, so I've told you this before, but I'm just going to flag it up because it's a great help to me. It's got a prayer at the start of each day. It's got the same prayer, and I pray the same prayer at the start of each day because it's a prayer that I need from Colossians chapter 1. But it then goes in and it gives me, I've got all your names, well, not all of you, but because some of you more recent, and probably haven't put your names in here yet, but you will get onto my list. And so every day I get eight different people or eight couples to pray for at random, and it takes me through. So that over a course of a week or so, I will have prayed for pretty much everybody in the church. It's part of my job for you, to pray for you, to support you as your shepherd, to love you, care for you, to pray for you, lift you up before the Lord. Then it's got a little section on my family. So it just takes me through different members of my family. Now, you might do it differently. You might be much better than I do, and you might think of every single member in your family, and you might go through them. You might just have them. I'm not like that. I need a little bit of help. So I have that, and then I've got some people. If some people say, "Can you pray for me?" And I'll say, yeah, I will pray for you. Now, they will be on my everyday list. So there's three sections. There's family, there's church, and there's my everyday list. So some people in a particular point of need will come up every day and just swipe through them, and I pray to them. That's a helpful thing. But as helpful as it is, it's very easy just to slip into, Lord, I pray for so-and-so. Lord, I lift this person to you. I lift that person to you. Now, he knows my heart, but sometimes I look and I think, I prayed, but have I ever really prayed? I've prayed, the words have been there, but have I prayed? Have my heart, does my heart go with the words I pray, as another one of the old hymns said. We all know how easy that is, I'm sure. So, with my simple mind, I've got a simple little outline for you this morning. And I think as we look at the teaching of Jesus on here, we've got, apart from the model prayer, which we'll come to, three headings. We've got, as we think about how to pray, that's the heading today. So each of these sections in the Lord's Prayer, how to, whatever, how to pray with sincerity, with simplicity, and in secret, or with secrecy, and with a structure. So four little things that we'll go through this morning. So number one, when you pray, said Jesus in verse 5, do not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. So, the first one is to pray with sincerity. Don't be like the hypocrites. He's just warned in the previous section about giving, and he said to them, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. And it comes to pray. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to pray. I tell you, they have their reward in full. Whatever benefit they get is what they get down here. They're not going to get anything from God. These people who do things to be seen by others or for the benefit or what other people are going to think of them. You notice that happened a lot with this certain group of people, the religious, and it was the leaders. Those of a word for us who would call ourselves leaders. It's really important that we don't fall into that we set an example. I find myself pointing to myself at this point. You see, for the people in Jesus' day, to help them pray, they had a number of things. They would have a lot of set prayers. Nothing wrong with set prayers. You know, I love sometimes going into being part of an Anglican congregation and finding the freshness of their liturgy. And the fact that it's, for me, it's different, brings it with a new force. And some of the words and the sentiments are just so well crafted, and they're beautiful. And I think, Lord, I need more of that. And it's a wonderful thing. Now, back in Jesus' day, they had a similar kind of thing. So there were set times during the day when the people were encouraged to pray. There were set prayers to pray for when you got up, set prayers for when you went to bed, set prayers before you ate, set prayers, believe it or not, before you lit a fire. Set prayers when the moon was new. There was a set prayer for when bad news came. There was another prayer that you prayed when good news came. There was a prayer to say when you had a new piece of furniture in your house. There was a prayer to say before you left to go and do your shopping. That was how they did it. Wow. What was the point of that? I'm quite convinced that in the minds of the people that thought this would be a good idea, it was a noble idea to bring Jesus into every part of our life. So it's not just something that you did when you went to the temple. It's not just something that we do when we go to chapel or to church. But the idea was to make sure that you bring God into every part of your life. And that's a good thing, isn't it? That every part of our life is saturated and permeated with a sense of God. But what happened then is what happens now if we do the same thing too much, is it loses its impact and it loses its force and its just something that comes out. And what was even worse in Jesus' time was that there were people who were doing these prayers punctiliously at the right time, in the right place, for the right occasion, simply so that others would see them and think, wow, man, they are so holy. We wouldn't dream of becoming like that, would we? I mean, we're nonconformists. We don't conform. Baptists kind of come from a stream that broke away from the Anglican church, partly as a reaction against the set form. We were nonconformists. We didn't conform to the rules that were passed down from government and from the national church. We said, no, we're not going to do it that way. We want to be free to do it. We don't think you... So we're nonconformists. We are such nonconformists that we even struggle to say the Lord's Prayer regularly, don't we? And yet, we can get hung up over whether we say the right words, whether we say in the right way, whether we pray to the right person. Do I pray to the Father? Do I pray for the Son? Do I pray to the Holy Spirit? Do I pray for all three? How does that work? And praying in public, praying in front of other people can almost become a trauma because we're worried what other people... No, let me put it this way. We're worried that we might say something the wrong way. Or we might forget to say something. Or we might be misunderstood. And it stifles our prayers. Jesus says, don't be like the hypocrites. And basically, you know what the hypocrites were. I told you they were the actors. He's saying, just be sincere. Just say it as it is. Just Nike it. Just do it. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. So that's the first thing. Jesus isn't that concerned about the words. He just wants us to be real and sincere. Like any friend. And remember, he's our friend. And friends aren't fussed when things come out wrong, are they? Be sincere. The second thing he said was pray privately. He said, when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So pray privately. Or as I put, prioritize times of private prayer. The room that Jesus has in mind here is the little storeroom that many of the families would have had. Most of the families just had one big room, but there would be a little storeroom which would have been reserved for keeping the food and the salt and the other necessities of life. He said, just go in there where nobody else can see you. Just get alone and in there you pray. Where the place where you're unlikely to be disturbed. The truth of the matter is that what we are in private is likely to be what we are in public. Those two things should match up. What we are in public should be, and is likely to, or is the hypocrisy of it is when we're one thing in private and we're something different in public, isn't it? We need to make sure that our public life matches up to our private life. And in this matter of prayer, that's really important. Praying with others is good. Praying with others is a good thing to do. It's always been something that Christians do. Do you notice when it comes to the prayer, Jesus says, this is how you should pray. Our Father. Our Father. It's a joint thing. It's a together thing. And he says, give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. There's this together thing. And everywhere, when you look in the Bible, people would do things together. The New Testament is full of instructions of togetherness. And praying is a together thing. The church would come together and they would pray together. We know that when Peter was in prison, the church came together and they prayed. They were surprised when he came out, amazingly enough. I hope we're not like that with our prayers, that we're surprised when an answer comes. Oh, I hadn't expected that. Well, what's the point of praying then, really? You know, that's a great little test for us. Do we pray with faith? Are we expecting God to answer? Where the level of our expectancy of what God will do? So the point is, there is an absolute place for public prayer, praying together. And who of us, if we're honest, don't find that when we're with a group of people that are praying, that it primes our own spiritual pump. When we're struggling to pray, you go to pray with someone else, whether it's a small group or a large group, and you find other people, and you're thinking, and they're almost putting words into your mouth, and you find, yeah, that's it, Lord, that's it, and you find yourself starting to move, the gears moving in terms of prayer. So I want to use this as an opportunity just to say to us, let's do our very best to get together to pray. It's one of the reasons why I love to have our times together on a Sunday evening, of just leaving some time, space open for us to pray. But we have times during our week. We have one Thursday we'll have a time together where we can all come together. And I'd just encourage us to use that time. But then the other Thursday we meet in our smaller groups. And I would encourage us to meet together with other people to pray, whether it's in the big, you know, the main prayer meeting, what we call the main prayer meeting, or in the groups, it's meeting together, this public, this united thing. So I just encourage us to do that. It might be something you've never really thought about. I just encourage you to come along, be part of a small group, come along on the other Thursday nights when we pray here. Let's pray together. So I'm just giving a big shout out this morning for those times. But what Jesus says here is that that's no substitute for our own personal prayer. When you pray, here he's talking about the private, personal times with the Lord. When we talk with him, just with him and us, and we can truly open our hearts up. There are some things that you can't say when you're with other people, aren't there? There are some things, those real deep heart longings, those cries, those groans, that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 8, those groans, those sighs, those tears, that yearning of the heart, that's not easy with other people, particularly when you're private. So therefore, get alone, get your heart out, talk to the Lord your God, who knows and understands. Do you do that? Can I ask you this morning, is your pastor, Are you making sure that you keep regular times with the Lord? And that can be hard, can't it? Many of us got really busy lives. We're getting up early in the morning, loads of responsibility, families around. It can be hard. And sometimes we can end up snatching a few minutes of praying, just an odd prayer here, an odd prayer there, and they are great, the arrow prayers. But Jesus is talking about something different here, and he's saying to get time alone with him. I want to encourage us to take the words of Jesus seriously. Our master, our teacher, our Lord, our role model. Let's take his words seriously here to create the time, however we do it, to get alone. Parents, that might mean that you have to say to your children, look, daddy needs some time, I need to pray. Mummy needs some time to pray. What a great example that is to the children, isn't it? That you're going to put Jesus, you're going to take some time for him. Now, it might not be appropriate to leave them for too long. Who knows what they might get up to? So can you look after yourself for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or whatever? Just a great thing to do as an example to them. Husbands, take the load off your wife. Take the children away to give the wife some time. Amen, ladies? Ah. Be thoughtful. Within your relationships, be thoughtful. Leave some time to do this really, really important stuff. So, second thing, pray privately. The third thing, pray simply. Pray with simplicity. Verse 7 and 8, do not be like the pagans who think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what they need, what you need. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So you don't have to keep saying things over and over and over again when you're praying. I like the acronym. It's appropriate for me. Keep it simple, stupid. Or if you want to be polite, keep it simple, Stuart. I prefer that one. Kiss. That's what Jesus is saying here. Keep it simple. Don't make it something that it's not. You don't have to take ages. You don't have to put word upon word upon word. That was what the pagans did. Remember when Elijah went up onto the mountaintop with the prophets of Baal? Those of you who know your Bible, you remember that. They went up and Elijah said, right, we're going to have a battle. We're going to see who's God in this scene. And so the prophets of Baal were up there pretty much all day, crying out, cutting themselves, shouting, crying, doing all the stuff, and there was nothing. Not surprising when Baal's not kind of like a real god. But they spent all day trying to persuade this so-called god to do something. Jesus says, you don't need to be like that. Just keep it simple. Just keep it simple. You don't need lots of words. So just say it as it is. There's no right way or wrong way. But like Anna said, there's some little things that can help us. I would suggest the acts thing is actually a really good thing. I personally find it helpful to pray early in the morning because I just know if I leave it, I'll get into emails, the phone will ring. But that might not work for you. It might be a lunchtime when you get some time, or it might be last thing at night when the children have gone to bed, when you've switched the telly off, and just before you... But just sometimes find a way of doing it. One thing I would say to help, read your Bible first and pray out of the Bible. You might say, well, I struggle to pray and find other things to say. Well, you can have a list like I just talked about with my prayer app. But much more important than having that is read your Bible. Read a few verses from the Bible, and this is where I'm going to put a shout out for the Word for the Day and our Daily Bread Bible notes, which you can pick up. They will take you into a few verses of the Bible each day. Pray out of the Bible. What has God said in His Word? And pray that. What does it say about Him? Use that to help you to adore Him and worship Him and praise Him for His character. There might be a challenge in it. Well, pray into that. Let the Bible be your guide. Pray out of a response of your Scripture. That will also help us keep away from a shopping list. You know what I mean by that. We all love a shopping list, don't we? You know, and we can bring shopping lists into our prayer times. Nothing wrong with a list, but it's so easy just to slip into that. Pray in the Bible will help us with that. Pray with simplicity. Keep it simple, Stuart. Right, let me just go through. Didn't say that very well. Pray with a structure, and the structure is the Lord's Prayer that He gives us here. It was never meant by Jesus to be trotted out as the thing mindlessly, but it's a model to guide and to help us, and it gives us structure. It's in two parts. The first part, worship of the Lord. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. It's about Him. The second part is about ourselves. Give us today what we need. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into... These are requests. So it starts with God. Starts with worship. And then it asks for ourselves in there. That's a great little help. Just a word on each sentence. Our Father in heaven. Our Father. Our Father. Talking to God. Our Father. Oh, I do love that. He's our Father by adoption. Adopted into His family. He adopted us. He chose us and He adopted us. We are His children. And we can talk to Almighty God as our Father. So it tells us one thing. Our prayers primarily are addressed to the Father, but we come to Him through Jesus. Don't get hung up on that, but we have the privilege of talking to Almighty God. And Father in those days was revolutionary. No self-respecting Jew would ever dream of referring to God as their Father, but through Jesus we can. That means He's on our side. That means He's for us, not against us. That means He's looking to bless us, not to judge us. That means He's looking to give to us, not to take away from us. He wants the best for us. Wow, what a privilege that is. But He's no ordinary Father. He's our Father in heaven. He's the Lord God Almighty. And keeping that in mind, that he's in heaven, will help us have the right level of respect for him, which kind of leads us into the second thing that he says, hallowed be your name. Hallowed means to be honored. It means to be respected. Lord, I want, would you make sure that you are respected in my life, first of all, that this day I respect you, I honor you as your due. And Lord, in our world, in our life, in our church, would you be respected as well in every aspect of our lives? At home, in my relationships, in my place of work, in my meetings, in my conversations. Lord, may you be respected. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Lord, would you, your rule come into my life? Would you rule in every part of my life, your kingdom, your leadership, in every part? Lord, I want today that in this part of my life, in the areas where I still struggle, Lord, I'm inviting you in. Please, would you come and would your rule increase in my life? And Lord, would your kingdom come with the righteousness of Jesus, the ways of Jesus, the rule of Jesus? May that come around the world, in our nation, around the world. Would your kingdom grow, your influence grow? We pray for world mission in that section. We're asking for the honor of the Lord to be seen around the world. We want God's influence more and more. Your will be done, Lord, obviously in my life to start with, and then in others in general. That his will would be done, Lord, that I would do and say and act in a line with how is pleasing to you. It's asking the Lord to lead us in every aspect, the detail of our lives. And then he comes, give us today our daily bread, that's the daily necessities of life. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That I find that a massively challenging thing. And the fact that Jesus comes back to it immediately afterwards is surely really important. Verse 14, having finished the prayer, he said, for if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But, he says, but if you do not forgive others their sins, if you continue to hold it against them, oh boy, your Father will not forgive your sins. We can't expect to be having a right relationship with God while we're broken off from other people. So, so important. And then that last little section, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Temptation is testing. It's where we're testing. Lord, and you'll know your heart as I know mine. You know, there are certain places, there are certain things, and you know that that's your weak point. Lord, could you keep me away from those things today, please? Because I don't trust myself. Help us in the tests that come. Deliver us from the evil one. It can be deliver us from the evil one in terms of Satan, or it could just be deliver us from evil. The word evil there, it simply means that which is harmful, that which tends to, that diseases things, that takes away goodness, things that will turn things bad. Lord, would you keep me from those? Would you deliver me from those? Would you rescue me from those situations? Lord, and you might know in your life there are situations where there are relationships or things in your life that it's like diseasing and it's eating you up inside. Lord, would you deliver me from those? Would you rescue me from those? That's what this bit of the prayer is all about. Here is Jesus' model prayer. It's simple. It's sincere. It's structured. It's a great guide for us in our praying in public. It's a great example and a guide for us when we pray alone in our rooms. Prayer is rarely easy, but there's some simple guidelines here from our Savior who wants us to pray to our Father in heaven, that his will and his kingdom might be done in our lives, in our life as a church, and in his world as well. So may he help us to avoid the dangers, help us to be ever more authentic with him for his glory. Would you join me as I pray as we finish? Lord Jesus, thank you for this teaching on prayer. We do love you. We're thankful for all that you are. We thank you that through you we can come to our Father in heaven, our Heavenly Father, the one who's for us and not against us, the one who loves to give good gifts to his children. And yet we confess that so often we do find it hard. We're sorry that we sometimes forget in the busyness of life. Sometimes we even think there are more important things that we can do and we need to do rather than pray. Would you help us to keep time? Would you help us to carve time out, quality time, to get alone with you in our rooms? Lord, if we've said anything that's helpful to people this morning, would you water it into our hearts and our lives so that we, in this area as well as in others, that our lives, our life individually and our life as a church, might be more and more in tune with your ways and your will. Thank you for this wonderful privilege. May we treasure it. May we use it for our good and for your glory. Amen. Let's finish then with the classic hymn on prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer. For those of you who need to go, God bless you. God go with you. God give you his peace and a sense of his presence. It's been lovely to have you here this morning. We'd love that you would feel you want to come back again. Father, we thank you for our time together this morning. We thank you for the songs that we've sung. We pray that they've been pleasing to you. We thank you for your word, so practical to us. Now, Lord, we want to say thank you for our fellowship. We thank you for our friendship and ask that you'll bless this time around food and around the tables to us. We thank you for the food that we enjoy, such a bounty, so much variety, so many different flavors from different parts of the world that have influenced it. Lord, we thank you for all that we have. Bless this time and bless those who need to leave us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.